Okay, so peek behind the curtain. This is one that we were incredibly excited about when we recorded the original episode, because while we were recording this, Matt, there were a number of new discoveries that hit at the perfect time. You know, we've all heard of Neanderthals, right? We've all heard of those, what do we call them, early mixtapes of humanity?
Yeah, the versions of us that evolved and evolved and evolved and got better and better and better until we became human 2020. the humans that exist in 2020. And the big question is, what were some of those iterations? Because we can only see a couple of flashlight level illuminated parts of the darkness there when it comes to the evolution of man. And, you know, you and I, as well as hopefully everyone else, is just curious about those connections between those big jumps that we see.
So we all know about Neanderthals, right? We know about things like Cro-Magnon or something. But as we were going into this episode, all those years ago, humanity was discovering the traces of some long-lost cousins, like Homo floresiensis or the Denisovans. And in the time since we recorded this, there have also been some new intriguing discoveries. So we may end up doing a follow-up to this episode, but we want your opinion on this. Is Homo sapien folklore, you know, the ideas of giants and gnomes and so on, is it in some way informed by ancient early encounters with these other types of humans?
And word to the wise, you will hear Ben and Nolan and I reference information in this episode throughout other episodes. So if you haven't listened to this one and you've heard us mention Denisovans or Homo floresiensis, this is the one. So listen.
From UFOs to ghosts and government cover-ups, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know.
Hello. Welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
And I'm Ben.
And today, we're taking a journey. A journey through our DNA. And we're going back, way back.
Way back, yeah. This is a deep cut. Today, we are talking about the lost races of man. Now, Matt, you remember earlier, gosh, it was a long time ago, we covered the belief in giants, right?
Oh, yes. That was one of the earliest episodes we did.
And interesting thing that we found is that not only are there quite a few hoaxes, especially in the days of Photoshop and, you know, even earlier than that in the days of disreputable would-be scientists.
And but, you've probably seen these photos online, the photos of maybe it's paleontologists down by some bones that, and there happens to be a giant human skull bone there as well.
Right.
That's ridiculously out of proportion, and it'll say, hey, real photos of giants on it. We can assure you, those are photoshopped.
Yeah, those for sure are photoshopped, but amid all those hoaxes and amid, you know, both digital and analog, I guess, we have also found that there are quite a few unexplained things about early humanity in general. And if you guys will sit through some folklore with us, we can build a pretty fascinating case here. First off, every single culture, I don't like generalizations, but it's true. Every single culture has legends of some sort of human-like entities, right?
Yeah, you've got some that have the human-like intelligence. You think of the fairies or maybe the gnomes. Even giants,
right?
There are legends of these throughout many cultures, almost all cultures.
Yeah, giants are some of the original bad guys in a lot of the epic tales of earlier empires. You know, we have, of course, for most people in monotheistic faiths, Goliath would be a number one giant.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of the Nephilim being giants was also present in
early Old Testament stuff, some of which made it into the canonical version of the Bible and other mm-hmm. stuff that's more on the B-sides. And then we know that there are other myths and legends about creatures that are a blend of animal and man. And this stuff is huge. And of course, it depends upon the types of animals present in that culture's environment, right?
Yes. You wouldn't have a giraffe in Native American culture.
right.
And you just wouldn't see it because it wasn't there.
But you would have stuff like a satyr in Mediterranean culture where goats are common, mm-hmm. minotaurs, centaurs, but then also, let's not forget things that can change into animals like the werewolf myths.
Oh, yeah. You know. Skinwalkers and all the... There are a lot of myths, especially Native American myths, about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and we have a whole podcast about that, too.
Yes, we do. And others, sometimes you've got kind of an angelic or a demonic version of a human that isn't really human.
So cool.
Well, it's certainly cool. And these are, you know, vampires, djinn, the undead, that kind sure. of stuff.
Yeah. And most of these legends are culturally specific. So what we mean by that is that most of these legends have a very specific type of elf belief or type of fae belief or very specific race of giants or animal near human people. But there are some commonalities here, and these commonalities are startling. First, pretty much every culture has some idea of little people, whether these are little physical people or little spirits, you know, a spirit of your home or something. Maybe it's not fair to say every culture. Every continent, save Antarctica, has myths like this. Mm-hmm. And then giants are always around, as we said, the original bad guys. And there's another thing, which I think you and I have referred to as near men or almost men. You
know? Yeah. These are apes sometimes, right. Usually apes.
Sasquatch like, things, yeah.
Mm-hmm, orangutans that just live in the forest, but they, you know, if you get a glimpse and you don't really know what it is,
yeah.
I could imagine someone seeing kind of an older orangutan with the long arms, just this weird old man in the woods who's just hanging out in the forest.
Yeah,
maybe
buddy.
It's his domain. Maybe he's magical. I don't know.
I'm freaked out just from hearing you tell this story.
I've never seen that thing before.
Right. Yeah. And that's a really good point, Matt, because, some of these legends have later proven to have a grain of truth, right? Especially the example that you just mentioned, which is orangutans.
Right? Well, yeah, it's a fairly strange looking creature and it's very human like as well.
And for a long time, the Europeans who were, invading or colonizing, depending on which side of history you're on. For a long time, the Europeans were saying, what is this weird monster you guys are talking about? Who is the old man of the forest? And nobody believed it until the discovery of the orangutan, which is wow. fascinating to me. And we know that this has happened, you know, with other ape populations. Gorillas at one time were believed to be largely fictitious by early colonizing Europeans. I believe it was early colonizing Europeans. Mm-hmm. Somebody will fact check me on that. But this brings us, so we've walked through the folklore and we've shown that in a few cases, the folklore does have some sort of grain of truth, right? Mm-hmm. So it brings us to this. What about Homo sapiens? Did we ever encounter early creatures, ones that actually were like us? It's a good question.
Well, if we want to use natural selection as the kind of the lens that we're looking through, then we absolutely had to have, Homo sapiens had to have experienced Neanderthals, or at least a version, or I guess it would be closer to the, wow, I'm talking out of my rear. At the moment, but it would have to be, you know, we split at some point and it's not instantaneous. And once you split, whatever you turned into, the other side just doesn't disappear.
Right. Yeah. It's sort of like the old problem with, some theories about teleportation. It reminds me a little bit by way of painful analogy.
Okay.
About a movie called The Prestige.
And, awesome movie.
Yeah. This is tangential. This is also chock full of spoilers. So if you have not seen The Prestige and you are one of those people who will get upset at me for you listening to spoilers, then don't listen to this part. Anyway, in The Prestige, David Bowie plays Nikola Tesla and does a pretty good job.
Oh, yeah.
Considering they look nothing alike. And he invents this teleportation machine with a huge drawback. It doesn't so much teleport people as it makes copies of objects, because actual teleportation is much more difficult than this sort of mimicry or doubling. Mm-hmm. So there's a very strange situation where one of the magicians, one of the main characters in The Prestige, is continually killing earlier versions of himself, which is hellish. And there's also an Orson Scott Card story about that that was great, but I don't want to ruin that one for you either.
Ruining movies all day long.
I've done enough damage, you know, I think. So we do know that there are a lot of unanswered questions about the arrival of modern man anyway. For most of us, most people in the West understand the out of Africa theory, which is the prevalent theory in the modern time today. And we all know the story. So Homo sapien evolves in Africa and from Africa leaves via, you know, the Northwest Africa area to locations around the globe, mm-hmm. spreads out, and civilization is founded, you know, somewhere in the Near East, Middle East, Indus Valley. Well, that is also coming up for debate because there are some ancient sites that have been rediscovered.
So. Yeah, older sites than they should be.
How do you pronounce it? Catalhoc? Is that it?
I can't.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know
about
exactly that. What you're talking
we'll
about.
We'll do a show on that.
Yeah. Did you hear what Ben said? Try and figure out how to put that into Google and look that up, because it's really interesting. Okay. So,
but there are alternate theories.
Perhaps there's this one theory that there may have been another hominid or humanoid. That had left Africa earlier and traveled throughout the world. And in this theory, humanity evolved at different locations throughout the world separately. Mm. This is called the multi-regional theory.
Ah, yes, the multi-regional theory, which can sound pretty strange to us. If you look at the timeline of evolution of man, from what we know, the margins of error are huge, mm-hmm. just the range of dates in which these things could have occurred. So while there is room to explore that, it's not treated as, importantly in the West, but in some areas of the world, in China, for instance, a version of the multi-regional evolutionary theory is incredibly popular.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm going to be honest with you. I've read some accusations that it's because of racism.
Well, unfortunately, that's where my mind goes when I hear it. Here's the problem. It's possible. I can't discount it currently, but at least that theory, because I don't have the tools to do the research. I know what the information is. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's where my mind went when we began talking about that theory.
Yeah, it's strange because it makes a space where you could easily see a lot of people with tremendous prejudice saying, oh yes, of course, we really are different to, you know, insert group we don't like here. Mm-hmm. Somebody's got beef with the Welsh or something, and they say, you know, and yes, guys, Welsh listeners, I'm using the Welsh as an example of racism, because I'm pretty sure that it's not a serious thing. And if I'm wrong, I'm sorry, but I'm just using it as an example.
That would be a terrible thing.
Welsh prejudice. I hope it's not around anymore. Point being, there is a space in there that people use for racism. There's another similar theory that an earlier hominid left Africa, evolved into something like Homo sapien. So maybe, you know, the demo version of the full album that will be Homo sapien,
okay.
And then return to Africa then.
Ooh, like a homecoming.
Yeah, like an into Africa before out of Africa.
Interesting.
But again, the most widely accepted theory by far and large is the out of Africa theory, wherein Homo sapien evolves on the African continent, departs, leaves, later starts to have regional variants into the things that we recognize as different parts of different human populations around the world today. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you and I have a lot of freckles. That happened.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
I'm kind of upset with those my hominid ancestors.
You gotta own it, man.
I don't know, dude.
It's just too expensive to get all these things removed.
It's just not cool. We can't even walk outside for very long, Ben.
But it's all part of the mosaic that is the human experience, right?
There were some cave dwellers, our ancestors. I'm sorry I'm harping on this, but
hey.
Man, they lived. They must have been deep in those caves.
And today, Homo sapien in general is one of the most successful large life forms in Earth's history. Now, we have talked before about what defines a successful life form. Like, are insects the most successful type of life? Is bacteria? Because God knows there are a hell of a lot more of them than there are humans.
Yeah. But regardless, Ben, there are billions of humans running around the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a large number. Even though there are a lot more of the others, of insects and those things.
Sure, sure.
There's a whole lot of us. We're pretty big.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Have we always been alone in this space of the intelligent, large creatures?
What a great question. And before we answer that, Matt, I think it's time that we have a word from our sponsor.
All right. Sounds good. Let's go do it.
Well, hey there, friend.
Me?
Yes, you. You have a look of fear and terror about you.
Oh, geez, I don't mean to. Is it my eyes? What?
It's your eyes, it's your posture, it's, frankly, your smell. Everything about you says that you are afraid of giants.
Oh, well, I am afraid of giants.
Yes, and you should be. They are huge. They are dangerous. The legends are true, my friend. You are one gigantic accidental misstep away from being pulverized by an uncaring cyclops or perhaps an oversized Goliath.
Well, I haven't seen one in a while.
Yes, that's because I'm wearing Big and Tall Giant Repellent. The only product guaranteed to prevent any giant taller than 11 feet from even entering your presence.
So how does it work?
Why, I'm glad you asked. For 5 simple payments of $79.87, you too can own one of our very first David Sling models. It's a hip stone necklace that you just put around your neck, and it will emanate anti-giant rays, which has been proven by scientists that we paid to say so.
All right, now, I'm willing to go with you here because I don't want to get stomped by cyclops. Like you said, that sounds like a really bad day.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly,
yes.
I gotta level with you here. You know, for all of my days, I have never seen a giant.
Yes, of course. Well, that's probably because someone near you is wearing giant repellents.
Oh, okay. All right, you know what? Get me started. Where do I sign?
Well, sign right here. And you can sign up too, ladies and gentlemen, listeners of Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. Get a discount on one of your 4 easy payments by signing up to Big and Tall Giant Repellent. StuffTheyDon'tWantYouToKnow.com/giant repellent. Sign up today. Big and Tall Giant Repellent is not responsible for the following: genetic disorders including Crohn's disease, Mycroft syndrome, funny hand, and left toe, insouciant doorknobs, aggressive bonobos, depressed bonobos, Jonathan Strickland, farts, sharts, hand carts, ox carts, malaise, window jumping, window breaking, Canada, Kansas, and Kiribati.
Big and Tall Monster Repellents, a division of Illumination Global Unlimited.
And we are back. So now we can finally answer the question. Matt, you know the answer to this question. We have not been alone.
We have not been. The Neanderthals are the first group of hominids that we need to talk about. They were first discovered in Germany in the Neander Valley, which is
a silly name.
So they're usually classified by paleontologists as the species Homo Neanderthalensis.
Mm-hmm.
And some consider them to be kind of a subspecies of Homo sapiens, Homo sapien Neanderthalis.
Okay.
So
the question is if they're their own species or if they're just a subspecies of modern man, right?
Absolutely. That is the question. So the first humans with proto-Neanderthal traits are believed to have existed in Europe, roughly or as early as 600,000 to 350,000 years ago.
Right. And so this means that they became extinct during the time of modern man in terms of anatomy, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's another group that we should talk about that you and I got pretty excited about when we first heard of this. And those are the Denisovans. Spoiler alert, most of the early man variations that we find have names based only on where they were first discovered. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the Denisovans. We don't have much to go on with these folks. Fairly recently, researchers at the Denisovan Cave in the Altai Mountains of Siberia found just some tiny stuff like finger bone, couple toes, fragments of skulls. And from this, they were able to look at the DNA and discover that there was another, either a completely different species of early man or a subspecies of Homo sapien. And here's the thing. Asia, the entire continent, is not very well mapped from an evolutionary perspective. So we're not sure what's going on with the Denisovans. We don't really know what they look like. We don't know where they came from.
Well, yeah, it's very new. The idea of the Denisovan is very new.
And we could have found some stuff from earlier that was also a Denisovan example, but just not recognized, right?
Mm-hmm. One thing to note here, Ben, is that I've seen them called Asian Neanderthals or the Denisovans referred to as that, and that doesn't appear to be accurate, even though it does appear that they bred with Neanderthals or interbred with Neanderthals.
Huh.
17 to 20% of their DNA does seem to be Neanderthal. Although they think maybe they also, perhaps bred with another unknown, hominid variant.
Huh, weird. Right. And this is fascinating because some Neanderthal bones were found with Denisovan bones in the Altai Mountain cave. And it seems as though they might have been living together. Again, we don't know what they look like because we only found a little bit of stuff, but this finger bone, which is from a younger female, is way bigger than it would be if she was a Homo sapien.
Mm-hmm.
So based on that, the big assumption that we're making is that they were probably, what's a polite way to say this? They're probably robust, you know, like hardy. Maybe in a video game, they would be the tank.
Oh, totally, yeah.
If that makes sense.
They'd have a shield and a sword.
Right, yeah, they're bruisers for sure. At least they were larger than Homo sapien, probably. Maybe not taller. But research is ongoing, so we're going to learn more about Denisovans as we continue. Hopefully, we'll be able to update our video episode with some more information. This leads us to one of the most exciting and controversial recent finds of early man, Homo floresiensis, which I just totally misheard.
That's exactly the way I wanted to pronounce it, but I wasn't going to attempt it.
So what are we talking about when we say this? What are we talking about?
We're talking about a real life hobbit. Ben.
Okay. I see the finger quotes there.
Yes.
All right. How do we find out about this?
All right, so there were 9 individuals discovered in Indonesia in 2003 on an island called Flores, which, again, mispronouncing there. They were standing about 3.5 feet tall. Well, they would be standing 3.5 feet tall if they could and were alive. But that was the entire community. It wasn't just one or two that they found, 9 individuals that were that tall.
Right, and we know a lot of modern news outlets just want to run with a sexy headline. So a bunch of scientists got their dander up when they saw these headlines that said, real-life hobbits found in Indonesia, and immediately started trying to shoot holes in the theory. Was there a genetic problem? Somebody had said maybe this was an isolated, and the implication here would be inbred, population that had microcephaly, which is a very debilitating condition wherein somebody's head is much smaller than it should be, and it can affect intelligence as well. Or maybe they had no thyroid for some reason. Another thing that's not the same but similar is that maybe they were a distinct community that had island dwarfism.
Okay.
Which is, you know, the theory that animals who end up being on islands also end up being growing smaller over time, their species. For this to happen, there would have to be divergence here. But here's the really weird part. They were around pretty recently, right?
Yes. These, they lived as recently as 12,000 years ago, which is, well, it's very recent from the span of humanity.
Yeah.
And that means it was alive during the time of modern man. So when humanity was around, Homo sapien,
right?
They were around as well.
That is crazy, because especially considering that we as a society are still trying to figure out what is going on with the human brain, right? And we don't understand the nature of intelligence. For a long time, we thought that size of a brain was related to intelligence, but the things that we're learning about very intelligent creatures are proving that is probably not the case. And one thing that we found is that these creatures were a little bit, based on their anatomy, they were a little bit closer to apes than modern man, you know, in terms of length of arm to length of leg. And they have tiny, tiny heads, you know, in comparison to us and Neanderthals, I'm sure. And despite all this, they still built stone tools. So they had the intelligence to make tools. And there's a really, to go back to folklore, there's this fascinating thing called I'm going to mispronounce this one too.
Okay.
The Ibugogo myths in Flores concern this race of small, little people who are not that great at language, but they hunt and they can play tricks and they interact with the local population. And it's funny that this pops up because we know that Indonesia still has a lot of remote forest, although they are increasingly being torn down for various industries. We also know that these quote unquote real life hobbits are the longest surviving non-modern humans that we know of.
It's pretty awesome. It makes me, it just makes me wonder if that was the last surviving family, perhaps, of you know, these mythological creatures that were in actuality a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's fascinating to think about. I'd love to have that story told,
yeah,
you know, and on a film or something, just to see that.
Darren Aronofsky, you're probably listening. Let's be honest. It's time. yeah, well, there's some really interesting stuff here too, because reports of these Ibugogo linger well into the Portuguese arrival in Indonesia. And even today, there's a cryptid called the Orang Pendek, which is described as a very short, very strong ape-like creature. And there have been numerous reports of this, but we still have yet to find a body or a fossil. You know what I mean?
Man, I just want to go out and live in the forest for a while with a bunch of cameras.
Yeah. Well,
again, anyone listening at Discovery or Science Channel, Ben and I will do these kinds of things. You just, you know, just give us the money and the cameras and we'll go.
Yeah. Just the plane ticket, really. Plane ticket and the camera. You don't have to pay me. I'll camp out in Indonesia. Sure.
All right. Okay. I'm in.
All right, so what's fascinating here is that the theories of how these creatures arrived. Maybe it's not fair to call them creatures. I think they're close enough that we should refer to them as people.
Mm-hmm.
The theories of how these Homo floresiensis arrive on this island sort of requires them to have a knowledge of rafting, at the very least, to come over on a bamboo boat or something, because the distance is too far to swim. So this means that they also, at some point, whomever their ancestors were, those people were capable of building boats, which makes us rethink a lot of the stuff that we think about, because these creatures are clearly not Homo sapien the way that we would understand it. Mm-hmm. So is it possible this is just an isolated branch of Homo sapien that over the years, over the centuries, over millennia became something that seemed startlingly different? And that's not even all of it. We just named the three early man types, early human types that we know of, because there's more to the story, right?
That's right, Ben. There are a lot of known unknowns. We do know that both Denisovans and Neanderthals, they both bred with another early unknown version of man. And we don't know what that was at all. Or, well, at least there are some ideas, but we really don't know.
Right.
And yeah. We also, if you also look at the gaps in the early record, it's also possible that we may discover these other variations just from going at it, basically more digging and more searching. But the biggest thing if we want to look at, one of the most interesting things to me are these mysterious graves that exist.
Okay. Yeah.
There are numerous anecdotal and proven accounts of mysterious grave sites with near human or humanoid, basically human-like remains, and they're often really old.
Yeah, and some of those are hoaxes, like the Photoshop giant pictures you mentioned earlier, or like the Piltdown man in England. There are cases where unscrupulous, often racist investigators would take, you know, like an ape's jawbone and put it on a human skull and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But those hoaxes aren't the only thing. They're also medical conditions, right?
Yeah, you've got acromegaly, dwarfism, micro or also hypocephaly. There's all kinds of genetic disorders, like the what's that one, Ben? The Boskop's man?
Oh yeah, okay. So this is interesting, because we don't know if it's exactly a genetic disorder yet. So there was a series of skulls found in South Africa by some farmers, and they noticed, to their credit, that these skulls fragments they were finding didn't seem to be what you would expect from a human skull. And essentially what they found were baby-faced people with huge craniums. Ancient, too. So in some of the fringe research sites, and according to a very controversial study, this so-called Boskop's man, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, mm-hmm. is a highly evolved or highly intelligent variant of human that somehow died out way in the past. And this argument for a very high intelligence on the part of these fossils is made based on the size of what their brain would have been, mm-hmm. how much brain they could have in their brain case. And again, going back to the earlier thing we pointed out, what we have learned is that is not necessarily the deciding factor.
Yeah, the brain can be smaller and really intelligent, i.e. ravens.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. There are all kinds. There's high intelligence all over the place in the brain. I guess it matters in the folds mostly.
Right. Yeah. It's also, yeah, which regions of the brain are the most, are the most evolved or the most sophisticated. So When we look at this, of course, we're wading through a lot of misinformation and a lot of disinformation. We have an earlier podcast on misinformation and disinformation, if you want to know the difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we also know that despite the hoaxes, despite the things that may clearly be medical conditions, we have social practices, and then we have some inexplicable stuff. So when we say social practices, there are these skulls that have sort of a cone head look, you know?
Yeah, very elongated.
Yeah.
And it's because they were shaping their heads.
Right.
Since they were, essentially since they're born, they begin shaping their heads.
The way they do it, and don't do this to your children.
Please don't.
But the way that they do it is, taking wet, slats of wood. I don't know why I'm acting it out now on an audio podcast. And,
it looks great, everybody.
And wrapping the wood tightly around the head so that it's pressing. Now you remember, of course, that a baby's skull is much more pliable than a human skull. The bones that you are born with in your skull, as a child don't fuse together until, later in life. So they're able to make these things that look like, make these people that look like they have heads from the alien films.
Yeah. But then there are also other things. The horned growths, I remember seeing pictures of this, Ben.
Right.
Was this something found in the skull, or is this something that was artificially done?
That's a good question. We know that there are a lot of hoaxes about this kind of stuff too, but we do know that people can grow horns, for all intents and purposes. You can look up pictures of people who have been alive, likely during your lifetime, who due to one rare condition or another have grown horns. They're normal people. They're just normal people affected with something the same way that you would be affected with a mole. You know what I mean?
Okay. It's just a growth on the bone.
I don't know enough about this to really delve into it yet. But I can definitely check it out. We can do, devil people if it's not going to be too offensive.
I'm going to look into it at least.
Yeah. And also we know because of confirmation bias that a lot of skulls have been found that are irregular, such as the, very popular Star Child skull.
Oh, yes.
You remember that one? These have been touted by people who believe in ancient alien theories as evidence of alien visitation or something else. It looks like in most cases, those deformed skulls come either from a medical condition or from a social practice. But they're inexplicable corpses. There really are corpses that are bones, at least skeletons, that are 8 feet tall that we find. And they're freaky, but so far as we know, they're not part of a large breeding population. We've only found a few. But to me, the most interesting things that we find that are the most difficult to explain would be anachronistic remains. Anachronistic meaning something that is not in the time it belongs in. And this would be stuff like Romans out in Western China at the wrong time. So they're finding Caucasian corpses in the weirdest places.
That's easily explainable. It's just time travel. It's fine.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. And also we're finding, African or what would normally be ascribed as African, remains in South America. And, we know that history is a muddy story here.
Oh, yes.
So, I mean, like people still are trying to figure out what's going on with the Olmec civilization, right?
Oh, yeah. So we've looked at all these ancient discoveries, but from a long time ago. The earliest was 12,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. But here's the big question again. Are we still today alone? Are Homo sapiens the only hominid, the only version of human that exists today? Walking around, could you go somewhere and find one? Find another type of human?
Well, according to some studies that are a little bit controversial, you and I might be talking to Neanderthals right now, or Denisovans.
I could be a Neanderthal?
Yeah, totally. Those freckles and our reddish hair are dead giveaways, man. We are no longer pure Homo sapien quality.
You know what? I'm okay with it.
So according to some studies that continue today, including something with the neat name of the Neanderthal Genome Project, all global populations, other than some parts of Africa, like sub-Saharan Africa, exhibit significant Neanderthal genes, and significant only in that they are traceable. So through whole genome sequencing, a 2010 sequence of the Neanderthal genome revealed that Neanderthals share more alleles with Eurasian populations. So this would be like the French, the Han Chinese, Papua New Guinea, than they did with sub-Saharan African populations. So they think, the people who did the study, that this means there is a recent gene flow from Neanderthals to modern humans after the migration out of Africa. And that if you have Eurasian heritage, that it could be up to 1 to 4% of your genome. What this means, oh, and then they lowered that percent in 2013. What this means is that people who are around there, according to this study, people whose ancestry originates there, have some sort of evidence, genetic evidence of Homo sapien interbreeding with Neanderthal. The highest admixture, of course, would be, you know, Eurasia, East Asia, and the lowest being sub-Saharan Africa. And they're not the only people that might still be in the game, because we mentioned Denisovans, right?
Yeah, according to some of this DNA evidence, it appears that Denisovan DNA is found in Southeast Asian populations even today. And notably, you're looking at Papua New Guinea populations.
Mm-hmm. And there are also, there's also evidence of this in other, I guess we'd say oceanic areas of the world. So, this would be in islands in Indonesia, Malaysia. There's still some studies out because they're still learning a lot about this. But what this means is that Denisovans were probably all over East Asia for a time.
Oh, yeah.
And they were interbreeding with modern man. They were interbreeding with Neanderthals. They were checking off the bucket list.
It's almost as though they got pushed, out in to sea, almost like they were more seafaring, at least from what I've been looking at.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or at least they were good at it.
Right. Or their descendants were, at the very least. Now we get to the big one. Matt, what else is out there?
We have no idea.
We have no idea that we have no idea what we can find. We might well discover that some of the legends about giants and little people or alternate versions of near human things are indeed true.
We still haven't found a Sasquatch.
We still have not found a Sasquatch. We have found, of course, one of the interesting candidates for a Sasquatch, is always going to be a bear, but, but we have found that polar bears and grizzly bears can interbreed. We have also found that, at least in the past, large animals could escape detection for a while. The discovery of that massive collection of gorillas in Africa a few years back, the discovery of recent, mammals like, that monkey with no nose. It still freaks me out. Remember that thing?
Creepy.
Yeah. And then there's still so many archaeological mysteries in play. We'll, leave you with one here, and that's the Red Deer Cave people. As recently as 11,000 years ago, there's a community in Red Deer Cave in China, and they have a unique mix of early and modern human population, characteristics. So I implore you to go check out Red Deer Cave People and read a very, very interesting story. Also, I hope that you will check out our video series on giants and what else do we have on this? We have who are the Nomo?
We have the Nomo, the one about are humans evolving?
Yeah.
Still. And if you want to, you can even go back to the Ancient Aliens, content we've covered.
Mm-hmm.
This branches out into it. Yeah, I was going to go with it. It's, anyway, it has a lot of branches this episode.
Right.
And one thing I would like to say, this kind of topic lends itself towards, some of the darker things in humanity, towards racism and mm-hmm. some of, anytime you're talking about DNA and humanity, I would just encourage you to fight any of those urges. If you have any of those, fight them off with a stick. Please.
Well, yeah, we do know that in most cases, things like that are huge impediments to science. They're not really helpful. They get in the way. In our human experimentation episode, we talk about the huge ethical dilemma of Nazi experimentation on people. And we also note that one of the things that really prevents a lot of this research from being as valuable as it could have been was the underlying
bias.
Yeah. The underlying bias, the underlying, ideological constraints of the experimenters. So yeah, Matt, you and I are not, I think it's fairly clear that you and I personally believe in an out of Africa theory rather than the multi-regional hypothesis.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there are more early races of man, and the word race is not really fair here. I think there are more early versions of man that were around and have a genetic legacy today. The contributions, by the way, of Denisovans, Neanderthals, and other archaic humans appear to be, if all this is true, if the studies are true, these appear to be crucial parts of our evolution in terms of immunity to pathogens that evolved after Homo sapien left Africa. So we're alive in a weird way, again, if this stuff is true, because we have been saved by cave people.
Awesome.
Yeah. Also not fair because Homo sapiens, total cave people.
Oh, yeah.
For a very long time. We've got one more surprise here before we head out. Instead of doing listener mail, you and I did an experiment on Twitter, right?
Yes, we did. We just asked you if you wanted to hear your name on a podcast.
Yep.
So guess what? It's happening right now.
Okay, let's start checking out some people who wrote to us or retweeted and asked for a shout out.
Kia Stacy, hello there. Don Tree, you are in the house, I believe. There's Joel Micah Harris, Chet Lemon, I've seen you around on Twitter, JP Wygand, also seen your face a lot, San Juan _ Puerto Rico. Interesting. So is that a place that wants a shout out? Maybe it's a person.
It's like a representative of the place.
That's pretty fun.
Well, just to cover our bases, let's also give a shout out to the entire city of San Juan, Puerto Rico. Rico.
We've also got, a very interesting person named JPC.
Mm-hmm.
We also have No.
Okay.
Yep. There's, I'm going to try and do this right. Keith Mastro Michaels. Shout out to Ellipses. Or a .. We'll come back to that
one.
Yeah,
we'll come back to that.
I think that's what that means. We've also got Joe Von Axeman.
That's a cool name.
Oh, yeah. Jessica J. Glover F. Congratulations. Your name was just spoken digitally on a podcast. There's Jason R. Yeager.
Mm-hmm.
Seen you as well all over Twitter.
One of the first people to retweet.
That's right.
Idea too. And that's not all. Some of you wrote to us with responses here. So Bobby Samuel replied to something that made me laugh, Matt. I want to read it to you and see if you get this. It's more of a visual thing. Conspiracy stuff. Can I get a shout out for my friends Nilwab Neb and Kiridur Tam? Do you get it?
No, I have to read it. Nice. Our words backward.
Yeah. Got us there. Okay. And, Heather also wanted to shout out. Hi, Heather. And thank you, for the very nice thing you said in what you called your ill-advised late night tweets. we also have, Not Mugen, who just learned about our audio podcast. We hope you're checking out and enjoying it. JPC, you made us laugh, of course, when you said it will be a conspiracy if I don't get a shout out. Well played, sir. And we'd also like to return to our buddy who was ellipses or dot, 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 because we had an actual conversation online about how to pronounce your name, my friend. We wanted to make sure we got it right because, as we said, Americans on both continents are cartoonishly bad at pronouncing things. So shout out to you, Keet Lee. I hope that we have done that correctly. And shout out to everybody who's listening who has yet to follow us on Twitter or check out our website, stufftheydontwantyoutoknow.com, where we have all kinds of spooky, interesting stuff, and you can check out our Facebook. We'd love to see you over there. That's where we also ask for a lot of ideas for upcoming episodes. We hope that you enjoyed this episode, and we hope that you check out our video series on the lost races of man.
And that's the end of this classic episode. If you have any thoughts or questions about this episode, you can get into contact with us in a number of different ways. One of the best is to give us a call. Our number is 1-833-STDWYTK. If you don't want to do that, you can send us a good old-fashioned email. We are
conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.